Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the HR Leaders Podcast, the show where we explore the future of work with industry experts and HR executives in the world's leading global brands. Today, we have a very special guest, the second time on the show. I think it was 3 years ago when I first met Claire, who's joining us. And Claire is the Leadership Consulting Director at Dell Technologies. And we're going to have an interesting conversation to talk about how Dell Technologies is supporting leaders to navigate times of uncertainty. And prepare for the future of work, a topic we're all pretty interested in right now. So welcome to the show, Claire. How are you?
Thank you, Chris. Very well. And you?
Not too bad. Can you believe it's been 3 years since the last time you came on the show?
Time is flying.
Yeah. It's
now with the COVID even more.
Exactly. Well, tell us, let's just jump straight in. Tell us more about this new role. Because when you first, when we reconnected, I was like, oh, Leadership Consulting Director. Tell me more.
Yeah, so I've been in this role for 2 years now. Before this, I was leading the integration, the people integration of EMC. You know that we acquired EMC back in 2016. So pretty busy as well.
Yeah.
And this role is it's super exciting because it's really about intrapreneurship. So what we've done is we've set up a new service for all our leaders at Dell. We have about 12,000 leaders in the company. And it all started 4 years ago, actually, before I joined this role in a HR summit, global HR summit, where we identified that we had a gap. We had evolved a lot our shared services for all team members at that time. So we had the HR shared services that would solve any kind of HR needs for all team members. We had our cohorts of HR BPs that were supporting all our executive leaders on the strategy and the people talent development and so on. But we were missing specific support for our non-executive people leaders on their leadership challenges. That was really the gap that we identified at that time as part of a design thinking session. And we decided we wanted to do something about it. So we used those nice little design thinking tools and we started to design what the service could look like. And we actually identified two main objectives. One was around making sure we were providing consistent consulting on leadership topics to our leaders so that we can help them be their best as leaders and optimize their leadership effectiveness. And the second objective was really around offering them some kind of digital tools that they could consume on their way at any time, anywhere, where they would find those solutions. So that would not be as in-depth, of course, as a consultation, but they could find quick, easy answers to their leadership challenges.
I'm sure you could never foresee that this current event was going to happen.
So we started to develop the service. We built the team first that was completely new for all of us. The owner really of the service is HR services as a function within the HR space. And we took as a model what we had done for our team member services from a technological standpoint and from a data standpoint, because since the beginning, we had very clear that we wanted to take maximum advantage of all the data. So to understand better what were our leaders' needs and to be able to put all those data together so that we could provide more added value during our consultation with the leaders. And we could also evolve our model and our service towards something more productive in the future.
Mm-hmm. I love that point you make because it must have been an important change for you know HR to be involved in the creation and delivery of the service. What did you help them navigate during this change?
It was an intrapreneurship project, meaning that we started with a small team made of regional HR consultants across the globe. And the way we set up the team was actually innovative in itself because I'm co-leading the project with a colleague of mine based in the US. So we really wanted to bring some different visions from different parts of the globe and make sure that, again, we were globally consistent. We brought in people that had originally background from HR BP world and from HR generalist world. And we decided that we would organize the service based on basically three big areas. So one area is the team that is responsible to develop the offering and to build those digital solutions. And that's a small global team that I'm co-leading with my colleague. We are also responsible to drive all the technology agenda, the marketing, and really everything that the rest of the people, the rest of the consultants need to deliver the service on the ground. The other team is the delivery, So that's done by our regional HR consultants that are sitting in all our locations across the globe. And again, originally, those people were more of a HR generalist, HRBP background. So we got through this transformation of converting them into real consultants with a consistent approach to the consultancy and to our customers across the globe. And the third group, which is participating in the delivery of the service, are our three these regional VPs who are account executive, and they are connecting into the different business units and helping us understand better their needs so that we can shape our offering tailored to their needs.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the main, especially over the last few months, what were some of the main challenges that HR executives were coming to you with internally? What were the key questions they had? I'm sure they was asking you for various sets of data across the business in different areas. What was the key questions they were coming to
you?
Yeah,
so when the crisis started back in March, April, we immediately thought what we could do further to help our leaders. There was one solution that we had already launched, which was about leading virtual teams. So immediately we thought that we should put the focus on this solution and we should make sure that all our leaders were comfortable with leading their virtual teams. We already have quite a lot of experience in that field because it's been 10 years that we've launched what we call our Connected Workplace Program. Yeah. So that's a program where people can actually work from home between 1 and 5 days per week. So in some cases, some of our leaders were already quite used to it, but in other cases, they were not used to it. They were traditionally leading a face-to-face team or having kind of a mix of both. So what we did at that time in March is that we established a strong partnership with our talent and culture function. That's the function that is running all the training. And we decided to run some collective sessions for our leaders across the world talking about leading virtual teams. The original point about those sessions was that they were not training, they were really consultative sessions, and we were opening the door for leaders to share their challenges and to also share their best practices. So it was more of a dialogue mm-hmm. rather than a training per se. That was very successful. We ran about 20 plus sessions. We had more than 4,000 leaders joining. Wow. They shared their challenges across the world. That helped us also understand better what they were going through. The only fact to be talking about it and having the sessions was helpful because you could see that people were really needing to talk about it and to talk about their experience, their challenges, and so on. And what we did with this is that we gathered all the information about the challenges that they were experiencing. We also gathered separately their practices, their best practices. We did a very nice little infographic with all the practices of those 4,000 leaders.
What were some of those, Claire? What were some of the main practices?
So that's our, kind of basic things, but a lot of nice ideas around making sure that you stay connected with your people and you have space for one-to-one. So the critical importance of having one-to-one connection with your people and maybe increasing the frequency of the one-to-one, having some kind of virtual check-in or coffee every morning or with the regular frequency as well, making sure to keep the fun and bringing some fun. So we had lots of examples about funny events and that other leaders could leverage. We were talking about flexibility as well a lot, and that actually became really a hot topic. That was the where we chose to put the focus after leading virtual teams. So flexibility was really identified as one of the key things that we could help to mm-hmm. manage better our team members in those times of uncertainty.
I think what's super interesting is you were already prepared in many respects. As you said, you already had a policy. Did you say that 4 out of 5 days you could work from home? How long was that in place before?
So we started about 10 years ago. We've been evolving this policy and it was not available for absolutely all team members.
That's what I was going to ask. How did that work?
That was very interesting experience, actually. I think in the beginning, the objective was not exactly the same as what we have right now. Now we see clearly and with this experience that we've just gone through that it's really the future. We are actually accelerating this program and making sure that we can offer it across the world to all our team members. What made it successful in our case is that it was really a partnership between IT, human resources people, and facilities. And the three organizations really worked very closely together to make it a success. Because I think sometimes what I've observed in other experiences is that if it's not balanced and if you're not going at the same pace between the three organizations, that might create some challenges.
Yeah. Well, you've already had some time to go through this, right? You've been doing this a long time. What advice would you give to other HR professionals that are going through this transition right now, very painfully in many companies? What are some of the things that that you've learned that you can share? You know, some things that they should do and some things what not to do? Because I'm sure there's a lot of lessons that you've learned over the years in doing this.
I think the first thing is what I was just mentioning, which is really making sure that you have IT people / HR and facilities really connected together, and that we share the same objective. What do we want to do with this kind of program? Do we want to save costs? Do we want to really provide maximum flexibility to our team members? Do we want to have a mix of both, or do we want to support some specific business needs? I think that's important to have clear what are your objectives. Another thing is building this trust, and that was a big lesson for us. And when we are hearing the stories of our customers, I think that's the same kind of things that we are hearing, which is it can only work if there is enough trust and if leaders feel comfortable to have their people working without seeing them, no? And without really controlling whether they will start to work at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning and finish at 5.
How do you achieve that? What were some of the things?
It takes time. I think it takes time. It's we've invested in our case in some programs around trust. We called it the Trust Advantage. And we've talked a lot about trust among the leadership. It's clearly identified as one of the key attributes and key things that leaders are expected to develop. But it's true that it's a journey. It's not all of a sudden everybody develops the trust.
A very good point you made there, because there's no end date on this. This is a continual journey that we're all on, and it's going to take time.
And it's a two-way journey. It's not only the leader trusting their team members, it's also team members trusting their leaders to have these conversations about flexibility and to talk about their own needs and that how they plan to organize their work, and also be keen to raise their hand if they need some support at some point. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we've learned from the process is that it's important that it's reversible. So you set up an agreement at some point in time, but at any time, whether the team member or the leader can decide that, hey, it has not worked the way we thought it would.
That's a good point.
So maybe we should discuss and we should find another arrangement. No? So it's all about this dialogue and this flexibility, I think.
That's a good point, because I have certain friends that if you asked them before this, would they love to work from home? They're like, yes, of course. But then they're working from home. They're like, oh, I miss the interaction with my colleagues. I miss going into the office and the environment. And so I think that's a fantastic idea to make sure you have a date that we can check in again. How are you getting on? This isn't this isn't set in stone, and we can always reverse it. I think that's a great, and also people's circumstances change.
Absolutely, And then what the last thing that we've learned, I think, is this support that you need to provide to team members and leaders. It's not just about providing them the tool, making sure that, of course, from an IT perspective, everything is working fine, because that's kind of basics, no? That you can have your video, that you can have your headset, your audio, everything is working, that you have good internet connection where you're living. But it's also providing them all the tools from an emotional perspective. Again, that the leader can have those conversations with their team members about how they feel with the arrangement, and if it's working okay, does it have an impact on their performance and so on, and vice versa, that team members can also get this support, especially in terms of balance. Balance is actually one of our key pillars of our people philosophy, and I think that has helped a lot to implement this program.
So one of the things that many of your peers are struggling with that they talk to me about is having the data. Right? Because they're going through this transition, but they don't really feel like they have a real clear visibility and they don't feel connected. What are some of the data points that you're collecting or have been collecting, because you've been doing this a while, that are valuable for you and the HR team?
So on Connected Workplace, we do have the data about the logistics now, who has got what kind of arrangement. And then we can cross those data with the data from the team member survey. We have an annual team member survey, and we have a shorter one in the middle if you want. So we definitely ask directly, if people are happy with their flexible arrangement.
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. Two-thirds of employees have one foot out the door in 2024, and the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
And we can see, based on the other questions, on their motivation, their engagement also, the broader engagement, not only in their day-to-day work, but through our ERGs, for instance, we can see the impact. And what we've observed is that people who benefited from the connected workplace typically were a little more connected than the rest of the people.
Yeah, interesting. What about yourself personally? I'm sure you've worked with quite a few different roles at Dell since we've last spoken. I'm interested to hear your personal view, because you've been working in connected workplace, a flexible environment for some time. How has it affected you personally? Because you work from home, right? If I'm not.
I work from home. I've been working in a remote environment for almost 8 years now.
8 years, wow.
So it's quite a long time. I'm very used to, and the way I position it is typically working virtually is not so different from working face to face. You just need to be more careful about some details, now, especially in a leadership role. Mm-hmm. So you just need to be probably more sensitive to some things and be more focused on inclusion, especially when you work with a global team, because there are little things that you cannot necessarily pick all the cues compared with a face-to-face environment. So it's about tuning in and being even more sensitive while you're conducting the meetings or talking one-to-one with people and so on, so that you can kind of get this connection, even though it's virtual, and you can also understand better what is the situation of the person, no? from a professional mm-hmm. standpoint, but maybe also emotionally, which has become critical in the last months.
Yeah.
What I experienced personally is that I was very used to it. I think I was very focused, and I really enjoyed the productivity of working from home, because you can organize yourself. And when you have children, when you have other activities, it helps you really organize and own your agenda fully. This year, because we've been all forced to work 100% and not even have the opportunity sometimes to pop up to the office, even if it's only once per month, it has proven, I've experienced that it can have a bit more impact, no? This lack of freedom of being able to come to the office, even if it's just once per month or twice per month.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, because whilst the benefits are there, when you don't even have the choice to go into an office during this time, that's a whole different game, because at least you know at any point you can go and see the team and you can have that face-to-face time. But now we're kind of removed from that support network or your team as well. Any other lessons that I love that, by the way, I love the inclusive point you made about making sure that virtually that you make space for everyone and make sure everyone feels included. Because I've noticed even with my own team, that's not easy. Because there's certain personalities that are more, you know, that, and extroverts that kind of end up taking over the calls, and I'm one of them. And it's very important that we're intentional about making sure we make space for everyone on the call.
The language. People are more or less comfortable with the language. That was my experience myself as well, working with a global team and with a lot of Anglo-Saxon people. In the beginning, when I was joining the virtual meetings, sometimes it can be hard to just pop up into the conversation. Mm-hmm. You never know when it's the right time. And sometimes you feel that you're kind of interrupting the conversation, or on the other way around, sometimes you feel that you're kind of being too shy and not providing enough your opinion. So it's a learning process, no? And I think we all go through it. And that's nice to be aware that all the people around you are going through it, and just helping the people for whom that might be more difficult.
Yeah. What about from a communication point of view? Because we know, as much as there's so many companies rolling out these incredible new programs for their employees to support them and in new ways of working, or whether it be their mental health and well-being, where sometimes we fail is in the execution of actually communicating that. So how have you successfully promoted these services and products that you've built internally to your employees, to your customers? What are some of the best practices?
I'll go back maybe to our initial story to management services, which is this in-house leadership consulting that we are offering to our leaders, because this is the topic I know better. Mm-hmm. I could tell you also about how we promoted Connected Workplace, but I think the history of management services is interesting because we really started this service from scratch. So we started to design the digital solutions. We started to train our people so that they could provide this consulting to our leaders across the world. But initially, leaders had no clue that we were offering this service. And we are a big company, as you can imagine. We have those 12,000 leaders, potential customers across the globe. Some are in China, some are in India, some are in the States, in Europe, and so on, all with different challenges in mind, different languages. So I think one first thing, and I guess it's similar to any startup, really, is about the branding, making sure that you have a clear message, simple, easy, and a clear brand. The challenge, though, because it's entrepreneurship, is that you want your brand to be fully aligned with the rest of what you're doing within the people function or HR function. So that was actually a learning process as well, because, you know, finding the right image and the right connection and talking about our service, but not talking too much, so that we're not perceived as, hey, we're management services, we'll solve everything for you and the rest of HR doesn't exist. Now, what we want to do is really provide a coherent approach to our customers and don't create confusion in their mind about where they should go for what type of service and so on. And that's a journey again. This we've learned a lot along the way. So branding is a first thing, I think. Another thing is around connecting with all the key other stakeholders within HR, and that's a journey as well. Is just making sure that all your partners in the COEs, the HRBP world, everybody is aware of the service, is clear on the objective, that they are engaged and that they partner with you on promoting the service and that they can see also what's in it for them. It's articulating the value proposition for them as well, not only for our customers, direct customers, the leaders, but for the HR partners. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of communication. It's connecting with a lot of different groups and people to make sure everybody is aligned and everybody is able also to articulate the same message to our final customers.
Just out of curiosity, what maybe it's a silly question, but what was the rationale behind the terminology, you know, customers and internal consulting? Obviously, you're referring to your own employees, but just out of curiosity, what's the rationale behind that?
It's really because... At Dell, we say that whether you serve customers, which are internally, you serve your internal customers. That's really about serving customers. No?
Love it.
So whether it's an external customer or an internal customer doesn't make the difference, because at the end of the day, we are all serving customers. And that's our key focus. That's part of our DNA. And that's all the approach that we've taken for this leadership consulting. We've taken a lot of tools and mindset from design thinking. Mm-hmm. So we're spending a lot of time with our customers. We are each time we're designing a digital solution. So just to make it clear, because it can sound a little bit weird the first time you hear about digital solution is a kind of a tutorial that takes leaders through how they can do something the best they can. No? So how can you conduct a good career conversation, for instance? How can you handle a challenging situation and so on and so forth? But that's not a training. That's really meant to be a tutorial that brings in different resources and tools that the leaders can use to do it the right way and to do it the Dell way.
The Dell way.
Incorporating our culture code, our Dell philosophy, philosophy, and so on. So when we're building those digital solutions, it all starts with conversations with the customer. So we sit down with them. We understand what are their needs. We start to draft something on the paper. We develop a prototype. We go back to them, we check whether it's kind of answering their needs. We launch it as quickly as possible, and then we kind of keep asking for feedback so that we can improve it. Mm-hmm. So there is this very strong connection, not cooking things on our own in our little laboratory, but really being in the field and understanding better and through the data also customers' needs and tailoring our offering based on their needs.
I love it, by the way, because you are completely right. Whether it's your internal customer or external, we do a lot of this, of what you're discussing or explaining for our external, but many companies don't take the same approach internally, which is a huge mistake. And I love the fact that you're taking the same approach and using all of the resources, the tools, the experience, the technology you have, which you're offering customers, and you're now doing that internally as well, which is just amazing to do. What does it look like from a practical sense? If I'm logging into the system, is it something you've built yourselves? If I'm a leader, I want to go in, I want to do some training around, I don't know, unconscious bias. Is it your own platform that you've built, or is it an external company you partner with? What does that look like?
So basically, the leader entered the service through a little website, which is on the intranet, which you can access through our MyHR portal. And it's very simple. We've tried to make it as clear and simple as possible. So they get there and they have two options, whether they can request a consultation, and this would drive them into a service portal. We're using ServiceNow. That's the same portal that we're using mm-hmm. for other services in the company, not only for HR. And so that's, this is where the leader could request a consultation. So the beauty of this is that we're asking them what kind of consultation they need. Sometimes they don't have a clear idea yet what they need, but they typically can identify more or less what it is about or what is the topic. So it helps us categorize and it helps us start to gather a lot of information about it. The case will then be taken by an HR consultant, and the HR consultant, as they help leader with their leadership challenges, will input into the case so that we gain more understanding on the root cause, for instance, of the challenge, and also on the overall context. So that's okay. One solution that we offer to our leaders. They can request an individual consultation, but sometimes this individual consultation turns into a collective one. If it's a leader of leaders, for instance, with a bigger organization, and they have a leadership challenge, let's say about, I've observed that I don't have enough quality of career conversations within my team, that could turn into a full project. So similar to what external consulting companies are offering. And then the other way that the other possibility that our leaders have through this same little portal is that they can access and browse the digital solutions. So we have about more than 23 digital solutions available now. They are located on another portal, which is our training portal. And those are built. So we've tried different formats. We have animated videos. We have podcasts. We are considering to get into the gaming in the future. So we're really taking the opportunity to be innovative and to also try the different tests and formats to see what is answering better to our customers' needs. Mm-hmm.
And those digital solutions, are they just a number of different platforms, or are they all hosted within one core?
They're all hosted on the same platform, which, by the way, is the same learning platform where we have all our trainings, courses, everything that is available both for leaders and for team members.
So it's super easy for them to have it all in one place. Because the reason I'm asking these questions, Claire, is sometimes, you know, as much as we have all these great resources, you know, is someone going to go online, go into the internet and go and find it? We want to make it as accessible as possible. And rather than trying to get people to come to us, we need to come to them and make sure that it's as easy as possible to access. And it sounds like you've achieved that.
And that's one of the purpose also of those digital solution is that our aim is not to reinvent the wheel. So in most of the cases, the work that we do is about curating existing tools and contents. So it's just about selecting them for the leaders, putting mm-hmm. them in a story, or adapting them to the different scenario that leaders have, and then just pointing them right, to these resources, these existing mm-hmm. resources.
Must be really interesting for you and the team, because I'm sure do you have like a dashboard that you and the team can look at and say, kind of, here's the key challenges that, you know, here's the main challenge that our leaders are facing. We can see that we have all these data points here that all these leaders are looking at. Oh, let's go and now create this new program.
Absolutely. So yeah, at the moment we have the global overview, and we know all the topics, and we are monitoring it on a quarterly basis. Where we are getting now is into having an individual view, so that each time an HR consultant is sitting with a leader, in advance, they have a clear profile of this leader, of all their key data, they can start to get some, drive some conclusion if you want, or some hunches. And then they have a much more, they bring much more value add in the consultation process, because they don't come with an empty paper at the table. They come with a good understanding of what is the context of the leader, you know, what are their key data, what they've come through, and what could be potentially their challenges.
Mm-hmm. Would the goal, if you're not already doing it, would the goal to get to be to where, to the point where you could start predicting?
Absolutely, and that's the next step.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's for the 1-2 years ahead. That's starting to connect all the dots. So the good thing in our case is that we took the opportunity of EMC integration to simplify dramatically all our HR technology. So we don't have like a lot of legacy systems and so on. It's very clean, our technology platforms, and we have a limited number of tools. So that will make it easier. But again, that's a journey, and it takes time.
Yeah. And this must be super interesting for the overall HR team as well, because I'm sure they can have a better overview of the skills that exist in the organization across the business. Is that part of the capability? So as a leader, I can be like, you know, which skills are we need of, or which skills do we already have? And so many organizations, that's a massive challenge.
So skills is definitely another focus that we have. Is not, we don't own it from an organizational standpoint. It's owned by another function within HR. But we're putting a lot of focus on what are the skills of the future? What are the skills of the future that we need in each organization? And there is a lot of work that is being done on this in this space at the moment. Yeah.
Well, on that point, what's next for you and the team? You know, what's your focus for the next few quarters?
So this predictive model is definitely our big next step. We're already dreaming about the time when we'll be able to come to a leader and tell them, hey, be careful because you might have retention issue.
Or just nudge, right? Just the ability to give them those nudges to help them, like, you know, so you can start sending through those nudges to help those leaders perceive challenges that perhaps they don't know they're going to have yet as well, which would be huge.
Yeah, so the intermediate step, which is the step that we're already taking, is being able to automate proactive outreach based on their data.
Right.
So we identify that a leader, for instance, is not having a lot of recognition, is not providing a lot of recognition through our systems to their teams, or not having a lot of career conversations, for instance. So we can proactively send them a little suggestion like, hey, do you want to consult maybe this nice digital solution on career conversation or on recognition and so on and so forth. But then the intention is really to evolve towards this productive model that can be used for automatic outreach, because we'll be able to connect it to automatic push of our solutions. But I think the most value add will come from supporting our HR consultant to have those deep conversations with the leader.
Yeah, now more than ever, those conversations are super important. Super exciting times. It's always fascinating to me, Claire, when I speak to HR executives like yourself that have been in the business so long, but there's no surprise, because every time we speak, there's a new interesting project or a new role that you've delved down. Is that one of the reasons that you stayed in the organization so long, is just to constantly feed talent?
Absolutely. That's one of the I think there are two reasons. I've been at Dell for almost 14 years now.
14 years.
Believe
now.
It? Yeah, I can't believe it myself either. Honestly, that was not my initial intention.
Never is.
But when you have the opportunity to have very interesting role and change like every 2 to 3 years, and I've worked in compensation and benefits. I had the opportunity to support our factory in Poland, for instance, when we built the factory from scratch. I was in the talent space. I was in the local HR management space for different regions and so on. That's fascinating, no? And possibility now to drive this entrepreneurship project and see it growing and starting to thrive and so on is really passionate.
Amazing.
And the other factor, I think, is the culture. Is when you feel good in an environment, when you're happy to go to work each morning, and you feel motivated, and especially when you're working remote. I mean, that's so critical. I really value this and celebrate. That's probably one of the learning that I had this year. I was reflecting before our conversation about, you know, kind of learnings and so on from this year. And I was thinking, you know, celebration and celebrating and being grateful about what you have and, you know, what makes your day nice and fun and every day is really critical.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to ask you what would be your parting piece of advice. And I think that's a very good piece of advice, is focusing on, you know, what an attitude of gratitude is super important. I like to end my day and start my day by doing, actually say out loud, affirmations of what I'm grateful for. And it's just a great way to end my evening, end the day and start the day doing that. So I think there's a great piece of advice there. Before we wrap up, where can people, I'm sure there's going to be some people listening that saying, I need to call Claire and get hold of her to understand more. if people want to connect with you, Claire, reach out and say hello. Obviously, this is also something that as an organization, you offer clients as well, right? So you're both delivering this externally and internally, which is super interesting. So go on, sorry. Were you going
to
say something?
Yeah, no. I was about to say that definitely one of our value proposition is helping our customers with their workforce transformation and IT transformation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and yes, we talk, and that's actually interesting to see that maybe a few years ago we were talking mainly about IT, but now our conversations are more and more about IT and the rest. So people, facilities, so because it needs to go together. You can not only focus on one aspect of the topic.
Yeah. So where can people connect with you? Where, if they want to reach out,
on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn's the best place.
Very happy to.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for taking the time to come on. As I said before, when we first started this company and this organization, you were one of our first guests. So I just want to say for a second, thank you for all of your support over the years that you've given us, and for always taking the time to give back to the community and share your advice. So thank you for that. It means a lot to us, and keep up the great work. And when you've solved this predictive model, let us know. Then we can.
For sure, I will. And thank you, Chris. And I'm grateful to have had this conversation with all of you today.
Fantastic. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in live on LinkedIn or wherever you are, be right now. If you're new to the podcast, please like, comment, and share so that others can benefit from the great knowledge and experience. Make sure you follow Claire on LinkedIn. We'll leave a link to her profile in the comment section. Apart from that, enjoy the rest of your day, and we look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. See ya. Bye. Bye, Claire.
Thank you. Bye-bye.